Rajesh is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across east of England today. This is their story. In Harwich and North Essex, qualified graduates who want to teach secondary mathematics cannot access the training bursaries that would connect them to classrooms where teachers are desperately needed. The resources exist, the people exist, but Treasury spending rules treat the government budget like a household account, as though pounds must be found before they can be spent.
I grew up behind the counter of my parents' corner shop in Clacton-on-Sea, watching kids struggle with their maths homework while their parents bought milk and newspapers. I'd help them work through fractions and algebra between serving customers, seeing their faces light up when they finally understood. My dad always said I had patience for explaining things, and my mum joked that I was running a tutoring service from aisle 3. When I got my first class degree in mathematics from University of Essex, everyone assumed I'd go into finance or data science. I did work as a data analyst for 2 years, crunching numbers for a logistics company, but I kept thinking about those kids at the shop counter. I wanted to be in a classroom, helping teenagers see that maths wasn't just symbols on a page, but a way of understanding the world. In March 2024, I found exactly what I was looking for on the Department for Education website, the Mathematics Teacher Training Bursary, offering £28,000 support to train as a secondary maths teacher. The page said there was a critical shortage of maths teachers nationally, and the bursary was designed to attract high-quality graduates like me. I filled out the application that same evening, excited about finally doing work that mattered. 2 weeks later, I received an automated response that crushed that excitement completely. Bursary funding has been reallocated due to Treasury spending constraints, it said. Regional quotas are full for East of England. Thank you for your interest in teaching. I called the DfE Teacher Recruitment Helpline, expecting someone to explain the process or suggest alternatives. The woman who answered was polite but blunt. The budget simply isn't there anymore for your region, she said. Treasury rules mean we have to work within fixed allocations, and East of England hit its limit early. I asked why there were limits at all when the government was advertising a teacher shortage. She sighed and said she got this question every day. I just process the applications, she said. The spending decisions are made above my level. I decided to apply directly to the University of Essex PGCE programme anyway, figuring I could find another way to fund the training. The admissions response was immediate and enthusiastic. Not only was I accepted, but they told me they had 40 unfilled places on the secondary maths course. 40 places sitting empty for the exact subject the government said it desperately needed teachers for. I drove to the university the next week to understand what was happening. The education faculty was eerily quiet. I walked through empty seminar rooms designed for cohorts of trainee teachers, past a teaching lab with smart boards still in their packaging. The admissions tutor, Dr. Sarah Chen, showed me around with a mixture of pride and frustration. We built this facility 3 years ago when teacher training was a government priority, she said, gesturing at the unused equipment. Now we're lucky to fill half our places, not because people don't want to teach, but because the bursary system makes no sense. I asked her the question that had been bothering me since that phone call. Why were bursaries cut when training places were available? Dr. Chen leaned against one of the unopened smart boards. Treasury rules mean each department fights for a fixed pot, she said, as if the government needs to find money it creates itself. The Department for Education gets told they have X amount to spend on bursaries, so they ration them by region instead of meeting actual demand. Meanwhile, we have world-class facilities sitting idle, and graduates like you being turned away from a profession we apparently need more people in. That conversation changed how I understood what had happened to me. I'd accepted the explanation that the budget simply isn't there, because it sounded reasonable. Like when my parents had to choose between fixing the shop's freezer or buying new shelving. But the government that issues the pound was telling me it couldn't find enough of them to train people who were standing right there, ready to work. Dr. Chen was right. The people existed, the facilities existed, the need existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I started looking more closely at the contradictions. I found online forums full of graduates like me, turned away from teaching bursaries in subjects with critical shortages. I learned about primary schools in my own area, advertising repeatedly for maths teachers, unable to fill positions. I walked past the old teacher training college in Colchester, now converted to luxury flats, and wondered why we'd closed training facilities if we needed more teachers. None of it added up. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins was telling me it could not find enough of them to connect willing graduates to empty classrooms. But the real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed. They did. Whether the skills could be taught, they could. Whether the materials and facilities were available, they were, sitting unused at the university. What I experienced wasn't bad luck or unfortunate timing. It was the result of political choices made by people who had alternatives. HM Treasury chose to treat teacher training as a cost to be minimised rather than an investment in the country's future. The Department for Education chose to accept artificial spending limits instead of arguing for the resources the system needed. Someone in Westminster looked at empty classrooms, willing graduates, and idle training facilities and decided the priority was keeping spending numbers low rather than connecting these pieces together. I'm still here, still watching, still wanting to teach. But I understand now what I didn't understand when I first clicked on that bursary application. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The same logic gets applied everywhere, to youth services, to adult education, to community centres, to libraries. Someone in government says, we cannot afford it, as though they're managing a household budget instead of issuing the currency that funds the entire economy. This isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. The decision was made to keep it locked.
What Rajesh experienced has a name, cherry picking. This technique selects rare examples where government spending failed to justify never spending, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest. It's like a tobacco company in the 1960s pointing to one person who smoked and lived to 90 while ignoring thousands of studies linking cigarettes to lung cancer. They choose the exception to disprove the rule. In Rajesh's story, Treasury officials cherry-picked examples of teacher training programs that didn't achieve perfect retention rates, using them to justify cutting bursaries entirely. They ignored countries like Finland, where robust teacher training investment created world-leading education systems. They ignored decades of evidence that properly funded teacher preparation improves classroom outcomes. Instead, they selected isolated cases where spending didn't produce immediate, measurable returns and used those to argue against all investment in teacher development. The austerity objection here is always, look what happened to countries that overspent on public services. But countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Greece, the standard example, used the euro and could not issue its own currency. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Harwich and North Essex ranks 290 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 4,158 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. These organisations received £42.2 million in total grants according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.